We praise you, God. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Glory. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Show yourself
right. Woo! Glory! Yes, 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 yes. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord.
Victory, victory.
Praise the Lord.
Victory. That's our cry.
Amen. Our God wins. Yes.
We're overcomers. We're overcomers.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. I'll tell you what. The time we were at a conference with Kenneth Copeland, it was just for ministers. You know, in Texas, it's in January. And I can remember we gave a roar of without stopping for like 5 minutes or something like that. That's a long time when you're shouting. And someone came forward and gave a, I think it was, it doesn't make any difference who, but he gave a word, and he said that the demons in heaven were destroyed by that shout when the Christians shout. See, religion wants us to be quiet and solemn, and you know, no, but up in heaven it's loud. It's loud. I mean, there will be times of serenity, but there will also be loud. It will be loud. Victory. So we're celebrating. Michelle and Christina went to the Trump rally last night. And it was.
Stephanie went too.
Oh, Stephanie, you went too.
I didn't get there quite the time they did.
Oh, okay. Did you find them?
No, I didn't even try. There was so.
Yeah, I don't. There were 29,000 people, which is great. Yeah. So.
Glory, glory, glory.
Do you have anything?
More and more ground.
You want? Huh? Yeah. I want to. I want you to. I mean, I want to.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, Lance Molnow is a prophet who, and he's on Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah.
So I know he's authentic, but along with Hank Hudeman. And and he did prophesy that God was sending archangels to President Trump to strengthen him until after the election.
Right before President Trump arrived, before his plane got there, we saw like clouds of smoke filling the air. And then suddenly, my body from head to toe started tingling, and every hair on my body was standing on end. And I kept seeing this bright light out of the corner of my eye, and I grabbed Christine. I said, "Do you see that?" And she looked up, and there was two archangels that planted themselves, one right where the plane was, and one right on the other side of the stands. Two huge archangels, and they were so big. They were bigger than they had these big screen what do you call them? Jumbotrons. And they were huge, but they were so much bigger than that. I mean, they superseded it, and the smoke or clouds, whatever I call it, Shekinah glory.
Yes,
that's all I can.
That's all I can call it. Yeah.
We couldn't capture it on camera. Yeah. Okay. I only captured just a little small bit of it, but we both saw the Shekinah cloud wrapping around those angels. It was amazing. And then he showed up, and everybody was screaming hallelujah. It was great.
Oh, woo! Yes. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And it was prophesied that they would to strengthen him until Hallelujah. And he had a visitation during the time when he had COVID. And there's stuff. Yeah, I know my son called and he said, Mom, you think he's going to get it? I said, yes, the prophets are. I am just assured he is. I said, Amy Coney Barrett got in there and it'll be. Yeah, and she was prophesied by Hank Kuhneman way back. And then in 2016, and then 2018. 2010, 2016, 2018, and now. Yeah, and 19. And so most of his prophetic words come true. I've seen a lot of them come true. That's how you test a prophet. If the words come true. And it always comes true. He said that there was going to be an earth, a president would die, and that there was going to be an earthquake. Well, it was George Bush Senior, who passed on, and there was an earthquake in Alaska the same day. So you can be seated. We're going to receive the tithes and offerings.
Get in or get out of the way.
Okay, so we're going to go to Psalm 2. Most of these don't even have to do with the tithes and offerings that I've been saying lately, but who cares? Because this is, and I know we said this so many times during this election year, but why do the nations assemble, Psalm 2, with commotion and uproar and confusion of voices? And why do the people imagine and meditate upon and devise an empty scheme? Because there are empty schemes out there. Totally. The kings of the earth take their places. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one, Jesus. It doesn't say Jesus in there. It says the Messiah, because this is the Old Testament. But let us break their bands of restraint asunder and cast their cords of control from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision and in supreme contempt, and he mocks them. Now they've gone, this is me talking now, they've gone way too far. They went way too far. God was giving them a chance and giving them a chance to repent. Way too far. He speaks to them, verse 5, in his deep anger and troubles, terrifies and confounds them in his displeasure and fury, saying, yet I anointed and installed and placed my king firmly on my holy hill of Zion. And that's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Zion there represents the church. People who are born again throughout the world. And we are the ones who have to bind it on earth and loose it in heaven. So it's bound on earth and take the authority. And many people have come forward. We've been praying for a long, long time. Long time. In fact, for years. In fact, since we've years. Yes. Anyway, but okay. Verse 7. I will declare the decree of the word of the Lord. We need to speak the word out and decree and declare things so that they will be established and the light of God's favor shines on their ways and they will come to pass. You know what? Even in our own life, in our finances, you have to decree and declare. You have to call it forth. In your healing, you have to call it forth. You call things that be not as though they were. And it said, verse 8, ask me, and I will give you the heathen or the nations as your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. God, we ask you. We ask for the heathen, for our inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth as our possession. In other words, possessed by Christ. You know, we want them to be born again. Now, here's the authority. In verse 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like potter's ware. Now remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. So I mean, just always remember, they're the ones who are dashed to pieces.
That's right.
Now, here's us. Now notice, it was is a capitalized king that he talked about before in verse 6. Now it's a small king and he's talking about us. So, now therefore, O you kings, act wisely. Be instructed and warned, O you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent awe and worshipful fear. Rejoice and be in high spirits with trembling, lest you displease him. Be in high spirits because of the word of God. Kiss the Son and pay homage to him in purity. In other words, don't be a fake. Kiss the Son in purity. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For soon shall his wrath be kindled. Oh, blessed and happy and fortunate and to be envied are all those who seek refuge and put their trust in him. Now, his wrath will be kindled in the tribulation, and that's when the white horse will be riding on a white horse and coming down. We'll be raptured before that, up there for 7 years, learning, you know, learning, and then following him down on a white horse.
The armies of God.
Yes. Now, you know what? It's the armies in heaven, and that's with the angels. Right now, we're working with the angels, as the armies are in heaven. I mean, the armies of heaven. The angels. And we're working with them by our words. By word. So we got to speak it. I mean, we asked them to, like, the other day, we crosses. Like, okay, we're talking about a bow and arrow. And crosses that are shooting arrows of deliverance into the Antichrist agenda that has tried to come into the United States. And that's the way we've been praying, and many, many, many other things. And I'm just going to announce this again. On Friday night, we will have another praise and worship session and at 6 o'clock. And we do praise and worship a long time. But it's okay. They come out of there, whoo, kind of high. If you're sincere about praise and worship, and that's what you got to be, is sincere. Anyway, his wrath will be kindled. Amen. Yep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh. Did we pass out? You did. Okay. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for your word. Your word never returns void, but will accomplish what we please and prosper in the thing for which we sent it. And we thank you, Father, that it's an honor to serve you. It's an honor to give into the kingdom of God. Lord, an honor to give into missions, Lord. And we remind you of the United States of America that has been the highest missionary country in the world, Lord God, that has preached the gospel all over the world. And that we have given and given and given into that. And so we praise and we thank you, Father, for a hundredfold return to every person who with sincerity of heart gives, Lord God, and does not give grudgingly. Thank you. Yes. So thank you, Lord God, that you are our God. And when we make you Lord and really God, that you will supply all of our needs. And it's according to the riches and glory, though, the place we are in the glory of God and how high we want to go. We can go all the way. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that we just yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit even right now, Lord God. And that I just say that my words are not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit of the living God, that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we ask you, Lord, to open up the eyes of our understanding and flood our hearts with light, that we may truly know the hope to which we have been called and how glorious is the inheritance of the saints. Lord, that we might know that resurrection power that lives inside of us, Lord God, and that we may do the works of God. Yeah. God, that we will do your works because you turned around and gave us authority. Yeah. And we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, that we are, we just thank you, God, that you thought enough of us to let us live in such a time as this, God, that we're still living. We're here, Lord God. And you know, you knew that we knew how to defeat the devil, that we knew how. We haven't done yet, but you defeated him, Lord, but in our lives, and we don't succumb to those things or submit or yield to his wiles and his schemes. And so, Father, I thank you. I just thank you for that privilege, for that honor, Lord God. Oh, God, and that you would use us in this time, Lord. And as we said on Sunday, that you didn't bring us for such a time as this, so that we are laid down our life for you, but you want to work through us. You, as the Lord God Almighty, want to work through us. God working through us. And we thank you and praise you, God, for the revelation knowledge of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, all day long I struggle. I still not even sure, but we'll just do something. You know what? First of all, I'm just going to, Matthew, let's just turn to Matthew 16:19.
Come on. Praise God.
You can put the Amplified up if you wish. If you wish. Just put it up. Okay. So, and it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And whatever you bind or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. Yeah. And whatever you loose and declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. Yeah. In the King James, it says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, that is really so simple, because if you have the authority as a Christian to bind whatever doesn't, whatever you know is wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
If just all you have to say to yourself is this in heaven?
That's right.
Even when somebody's speaking unkind to you, is that in heaven?
No.
You know, and that we have to take stock of that ourselves. Yeah. Is this in heaven? Knock it off. Yeah. I bind it in myself.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Honestly, start looking at this.
Yeah.
If it, you just immediately say, is this in heaven?
Come on.
And so bind it. And loose the opposite.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? It's good to speak it out loud, because you give the angels then authority to work. Because you've got that authority. He turned it over to you in the Great Commission. He said, behold, I've been given all power and authority.
Yeah.
And he says, now you go. He turned right around. And that is you. I mean, understood you as that subject, go is start. The sentence starts with a verb. And so that's a command.
Yes.
You go.
Amen.
And do the works. And I'll be with you always.
Amen.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. Okay. God is a sovereign God, but only according to his word.
Right.
See, when the storms come, is that in heaven?
No.
Is a hurricane in heaven?
No.
Is a flood?
No.
None of that stuff. You have the authority to bind it in your area of territory.
Amen.
And that's what you need to do.
Yep.
Okay. I just really, that is something that we as Christians A lot of people don't know that, and God's waiting for us to do that. It's extremely, extremely important. You get a fever, is that in heaven? No. Is any of that stuff in heaven? Is cancer in heaven? Is anything? No. Pain? No. None of it. Bind it. I mean, I got to talk to myself about that too. Because sometimes you just, see, you know what? We don't need keys to the kingdom. Jesus, though, is the open door. So see, the keys of the kingdom of heaven are dominion and authority, which Jesus restored because Satan stole it from Adam. And Jesus came back to restore that. He did. So see, heaven actually operates by exercising authority. It operates that way. And now we got the same authority over our lives on this earth. We don't have authority like over the neighbor's kids.
No.
I mean, you could if something really bad, but I mean, you don't, you know, you don't say, hey, honey, Victoria, go over there to that next apartment and go eat supper.
No way.
I mean, you have authority in your own territories.
Your relatives.
So that's something, though, you also need to take stock in. And you never have authority over someone's will. A so-called prophet came once and he prayed, Lord, we take authority over the will of blah, blah, blah. And I went, as dumb as I was, I knew that was wrong. I mean, because they supposedly he was much higher, superior than me. And I went, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You cannot. Even Jesus won't take authority over your will.
Yeah.
If he would, everybody would tithe. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, 2 Kings 7. Sorry, I didn't say where. All right. You can go in the Amplified. Okay. Okay. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will sell for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And the captain on whose hand the king leaned at the gate, anyway, answered the man of God and he said, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But Elisha said, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now 4 men who were lepers were at the entrance of the city's gate. And they said to one another, why do we sit here until we die? When we were in that other building down by the airport, that's the scripture God gave me.
Yeah.
Sit ye here. Remember Kenny Cuckler? That scripture God, I don't know if you remember, I told you God gave it to me. He said, sit ye here till you die. And that little building, he remembers it. See? Anyway, if we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die anyway. So now come, let's go over to the army of the Syrians. If they spare us alive, we're going to live. And if they kill us, we're going to die. They were lepers anyway. So they arose in the twilight and went to the Syrian camp. They came to the edge of the camp and no man was there. For the Lord had made the Syrian army hear a noise of chariots and horses, the noise of a great army. He's done that more than once, right?
Yeah.
They had said to one another, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to come on us. Well, they thought that. So the Syrians arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents, horses, donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when those lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one camp and tent and ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, clothing and went and hid them in the darkness. Then they entered another tent and carried from there and went and hid. And then they said to one another, we're not doing right. This is a day of glad good news. and we are silent and do not speak up. If we wait until daylight, some punishment will come on us for not reporting at once. So now, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called the gatekeepers of the city and told them, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and there was neither sight nor sound of man, only horses and donkeys tied and tents as they were. And the gatekeepers called out, and it was told to the king's household within. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will tell you what the Syrians have done. See, the king thought, nah, this is a trap.
Yeah.
They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves, like in the field, in the open country, thinking, when they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city. Now, one of the servants said, let some men take 5 of the remaining horses, and if they are caught and killed, they will be no worse off than all the multitude of Israel left in the city to be consumed. So send and see. So they took 2 chariot horses, and the king sent them after the Syrian army, saying, go and see. They went after them to the Jordan, and all the way was strewn with clothing and equipment, which the Syrians had cast away in their flight. That's what fear does.
Yes, it does.
And the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a few cents, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel or whatever it is, but as the Lord had spoken through Elijah, the king appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, and the starving people trampled him in the gate as they struggled to get through for food, and he died as the man of God had foretold when the king had come down to him. Now see, that land was full of famine and bad things, and the enemy troops, they surrounded them, the angels, cut off, oh no, these enemy troops surrounded, yeah, the Jewish people,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
And they cut off all their supply.
Yeah.
And if you read, you know, like before that, the mothers were eating their children. But I mean, you could get to a point of starvation like that. Ooh. Ugh. And you know what? In the middle of that, the Lord told Elijah that in 24 hours, things would change. And God can do it. When we overcome the opposition. So, who did God use? The least likely people. Right? 4 lepers. Who, now, instead of feeling sorry for themselves, click, and just giving up, and waiting to die, they decided to take their chances. And sometimes we got to push forward, knock off the depression, knock off feeling sorry for ourselves. You know what? And lo and behold, they found that thing abandoned. Okay. So no matter how bad a problem can get that you're facing, or how bad circumstances, in one day God can turn it. And I don't care. Luke 1:37 out of the Amplified. Ooh, just a good one.
This is good, right?
I mean, that's a good scripture there.
What happened before
that? It says, for with God nothing.
Come on.
What?
Nothing
is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. See, that's speaking from the realm of truth. God's word is truth. Everything else, it says, like, God be true and every man a liar in Romans. And you know what? See, another way, I thought, God, first time I read that, what does that mean? But it means that all the reports that you hear, even
right,
from a doctor,
yes,
God's word is true.
Amen.
Those are just facts, and God's word is forever established in heaven. And always remember, in trials, you got to be careful not to get problem-centered. Instead, you got to get in the word.
Come on.
And speak that word,
yeah,
because there's loud voices out there in the world.
Yeah.
And you know what? And your vision of victory can be pushed out. It can be pushed out just by going to a doctor. I mean, I don't say don't go to doctors. I'm not saying that. But it can be pushed out. It can. And then, you know, this is another thing, though. It's very enticing because they treat you really nice. And sometimes other people don't. You know what I mean? They're so, everybody's so nice, you know. And you get attention. And see, your vision of victory then can be then, it can be kicked out.
Yeah.
It will. And so when that happens, the faith and the power go and life starts to go downhill again. Now, the best thing you can do is stop looking at your problem. You know, you can have thoughts and not even realize that you're thinking really negative. Whew. And you can start feeling sorry for yourself. The devil will put in a DVD from the past. Oh, remember how they treated you, how mean they were to you, and the words they said to you. Anybody else? I get that sometimes. It's, oh boy. Okay, get that rid of it. And you know what? I've noticed that I wasn't noticing that I was doing. I was thinking. Well, as soon as you start thinking something, start to worship the Lord. Or, you know what? Speak scripture.
Yes.
You know what? If you don't even know any worship songs, sing anything.
Yeah.
As long as it's not swear words or something. But you, because as soon as you do that, your mind has to think about what you're saying. That's the way to get rid of it. But you have to get into the Word of God to get your mind renewed. That whole, even post-traumatic, all that stuff, things, abuse and wars and stuff, and that's the way you get rid of it. Sometimes I look and I go, God, if we could just get them to renew their minds. It's huge. You reprogram your mind. And you get to a point where the devil can't get in. I know I've been there. And and I'm not conquered, but I mean, it'll try to come back. But at least now it's like so much less. So see, don't look at your problem. It makes things worse and it changes nothing. And you know, it's bad for your brain because it secretes chemicals and it actually makes black holes just like there is up in the atmosphere. And those things cause dementia eventually. But do you know that dementia can be reversed by speaking the Word of God? Because the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says it's alive and it's full of power and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, a double-bladed knife that cuts asunder between your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit. In other words, where is this coming from? Is this coming from emotions? Or the it's coming from your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And how does it say? Let's see.
Romans 2.
No, wait a minute. I was quoting, no, Hebrews 4:12. Divides between soul and spirit and joint and marrow.
Yeah.
And I always wondered, it's so fine-tuned that the joint and the, like a chicken bone, I do it as a chicken thing.
Yeah.
And it, to that you could cut it so fine that you would get between there.
Yeah.
See, where is God? What I'm saying, what I'm thinking, where's this coming from?
Amen.
You stop and think what it is. Okay. So, you know what? Do you remember how David came back from a battle and he had 450 men with him? And they came back to where they were, and those, all of their wives and their children and their tents were all destroyed. I mean, their wives and children were destroyed, but they kidnapped him. And you know what? What did he do? He was hopeless, and they were going to kill him. And you know what? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how many times. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Start out with worship. Start out with worship. Get something you can worship in your house. Get it in there. It is vital to you. So vital. Now, you know what? Elisha was a prophet, and only the kings and the prophets and the priests could get a word from the Lord. Oh my gosh. Hebrews 1. Look what Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says. And I don't, you know, this is the word. Somebody was going to enroll their kids in a Christian school, and they said, well, do you teach the word? And that the principal of the school didn't even know what they were talking about.
No, they don't. They do not know.
They, oh, come on. So they said, word, what do you mean? What's the word? Yeah. It's that? The, and she said it was the Bible. Oh, yes, yes, we teach that. But see, it's a word. It's a word that can come out of your mouth. And that word is in this word, and it's available. It's available to us. It's available to all men. But it was only available to the kings, the priests, and the prophets in the Old Testament. How blessed we are. Okay, in many verses 1 and 2, yeah, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days, He has spoken to us in the person of the Son. The Son of God is the Word of God. He is the Word. It says it in John 1. Whom He appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom He created the worlds. Oh my gosh. Jesus created the worlds. The Word of God created the worlds and the and space and the ages of time and everything that we see, really. And see, we can create healing by speaking the words. And we need to get back and be doing that. Too many people getting sick here. In our church, even. Start speaking the word. Oh, we've got tons of material. Okay, so you know what? So we have the written word. Now, there were some scriptures here, and I'm just going to say what they are. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37 says, we are not just conquerors, but more than a conqueror. You know what? When you conquer something, you get what you wanted. But when you're more than, it keeps going on and on, and it goes way above and beyond what you even asked or thought. Like it says in Ephesians 3, way far over and above all that we could even ask or think. He will give us. We are more than conquerors. Jesus was more than a conqueror because He got all of us. Okay. 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. But how? In Christ, the anointed one and His anointing. Christ means anointing. It's the burden removing, yoke destroying, devil crushing, mountain moving power of God coming out of your mouth through the word of God. And He makes manifest the fragrance of knowledge of God everywhere. I think there's a scripture right after that says, but there is the fragrance of death that comes out of the darkness and out of other people's mouth. But the fragrance of the Word of God comes. See, rise up in faith. Stand on the Word of God. Because Isaiah 55:11, it never returns void. But it will accomplish what we please, and it will prosper in the thing for which we sent it. And then, you know, Matthew 24:35, constantly. I've been saying this for 40 years, over 40 years. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Psalm 119:89. It's forever settled in heaven. The word of God is forever. Infinity. It's forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119:130. The entrance of God's word gives us light instead of darkness. In the dark, see, things go wrong and you don't realize how much darkness you're in. It's like going, like I said, into a dark basement where there's no lights. And it's dark outside and you'll stumble and fall and you hurt yourself because you are walking in the dark, even in the world system, all the time. And you see, you will stumble and fall and you'll get hurt one way or the other. Hurt in your heart, hurt in your mind, hurt in your body, hurt, you know, in your soul, hurt some way. So get mad at the devil and cast him out. We got to fight the good fight of faith with the word of God. See, get mad at sickness. I got to get re-mad at sickness. You know, resist it. Oh my gosh, there's so many scriptures. So many. Oh, you know, okay. Sometime, okay, I meant to bring, put this.
Glory.
Whoops, almost sunk down in my bag. Okay, those 101 scriptures. Now, see, they can. You got to be honest with me.
Come on.
They can get boring.
Some people.
So you got to have ways of not letting them be boring.
You got to excited. That's
why. Well, you know what? So I meditate. I got to see which one. Okay. This one I put full of stuff. Okay.
Material things.
Some of these, but okay. Because if you're just saying them, saying, you know, I am the Lord that healed thee. You know, do you know what I'm talking about? You've got to see, that's where it's got to start coming out of here, not out of here. First of all, I put in there Isaiah 43:26. It says, God said to us, put me in remembrance of my word. You said it, Lord, to remind you of your merits, Lord, or of the things that you said about me. I'm your child. So I'm going to remind you what you said about me. Come, let us plead together. I will set forth my case, Lord. I will declare that you can be justified and proved right, that you can heal me. Amen. Or whatever you can. I mean, this is okay. So in Isaiah 55:11, I said the word doesn't return void and so forth and so on. And, you know, just say it with such meaning.
Right.
So, Lord, you are the Lord that heals you. There's a lot of Lords out there, I think. Gosh, there's a lot of Lords out there. Sometimes the doctor can be your Lord. But you, no, but what I mean is, you know what? But you're the Lord that's going to heal me. And see, it makes it more interesting to me. Your days shall be as 120 years. God, you said in Genesis 3, you said you wouldn't always argue or chide with man. But my days will be as 120 years. Lord, whatever you want. And you shall be buried in a good old age.
Like a shock of grain.
Okay, now, you shall come to your grave in a full age like a shock of corn comes in its season. Tell me how a shock of corn comes in its season. It comes yummy and delicious, and it comes full, and it comes real beautiful. You know what I mean? Aha, so you know what? God, I'm going to come to my grave in a full age like a shock of corn when it's at its highest potential peak.
That's right.
I put that there. It's at its highest potential peak. See, those are little ideas from the Lord.
Sure.
So that doesn't make it so boring. Lord, when you saw the blood, you passed over them in Egypt, you know, Lord, and you see the blood on me because I received you as my Lord, and the plague will not be on me. Any kind of COVID would not be upon me to destroy me. And that's what the way I said it. Do you see what I'm talking about here? I will take sickness from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. God, if you fulfill them, they're going to be nice. But if, you know, the world system fulfills it, it's, yeah. You said, Lord, you wouldn't put any diseases that I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of all of them, Lord. So I don't have a spirit of fear. But I don't. No. But I mean, I'm not saying that I have, but I don't want any of them. Right? And I will take sickness away from you. I'm really not afraid of them. No. It will be well with you, and your days shall be multiplied and prolonged as the days of heaven on earth. Woo! In heaven, there's no sickness, no pain. There's no depression, no anger. There's no, judgment, no strife, division, arguing. Yeah, no sickness, no disease, no lack. Yeah, no adultery, no lack of anything. Yeah. You multiply my days and I'm going to live like heaven on earth. He said it. I'm not going to read 101 of this. So. if do it like that. And it gets more interesting. And if you get down to the bottom of the page, take a break. You know? To something, or do it later. But of all things in the world, don't just go, oh, because I called, I've healed you and brought you up a soul. I've left you alive going down. You're not getting anywhere. You know what? As I do it this way, it gets in me. It starts to go into my heart, into my spirit man. Like number 16, it says, I will strengthen you on the bed of languishing. And I thought, what does languishing mean? Anybody else know here? I looked it up. It means failure to make progress.
Turmoil.
You're not getting anywhere. Okay. So I also put Job 22:28. You shall decree and declare a thing, and it shall be established, and the light of God's favor will shine on your ways. Okay. In the back. All right. And it says, I took your infirmities and I bore your sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. Now, took there means removed. In other words, God, you said, you removed, you withdrew, you extracted, you disallow, you laid hold of my infirmities. But what are my infirmities? And you know what? This was one of the first definitions. Infirmities, and I've never... A weakness due to older age.
Wow.
Physical frailty. Yeah, but see, that's the whole thing. And it's true. As you get older, your body does deteriorate more. But he took it.
Yes.
He extracted it. He removed it. He withdrew it. He disallowed it. He laid hold of it. That bore means he laid it on himself, and he bore my sicknesses. Now, they made a division between infirmities and sicknesses. So he bore, and I know I've said this over and over, but if you write it down and you read it, you get it. He bore it. He laid it on himself. He penetrated it into his own body. It broke through, and he carried it, and he took it up. Okay, so like the one that says, I am the bread of life and I give you life. Lord, you said healing is the children's bread and I'm your child. Okay, I am the resurrection and the life. God, your resurrection and life are a person, and that person lives in me.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah.
The resurrection is a person.
Yes,
you know, it's like I said to the prayer group the other day, Keith Moore, his theme song, he has a faith school every single day. And his theme song, I can never sing it. Okay. I've got the victory living. Wait a minute now. Living inside of me. All of a sudden it hit me. Everybody says, we got victory in Jesus. But I went, the victory's living inside of me. Because Jesus is living inside of me. And then he put, the greater one, with the greater one, I overcome. And this is his song. He made this up. That's what I mean. He made this up from the Spirit of God. Yeah. Kenneth Hagin and we were there. They used to say, Keith, get up here and play the piano. You go, oh. He told us, at first he was like, and then he would make up the words. They would just come out of his mouth. I'll be done in a minute, everybody. I will. Okay, the rest of it. No time to be slack, no time to look back. Keep pressing in to overcome, because the greater one lives in me. See, I got the victory living inside of me. I got the victory living inside of me. It just hit me. I was always singing it with him, but never, you know how you do that? I got to be honest. You sing songs and all of a sudden they'll hit you. Songs can give you revelation knowledge. So, you know, all right. So the resurrection is a person. And that person lives in me. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, some of you know, ask means demand. You're not demanding it of God, but you're demanding it from the devil, because he's the one who's withholding, like your healing. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, and that spirit makes alive my mortal body. And I always say it's piercing, penetrating, permeating, and saturating whatever hurts my bones, my back, my vertebra, you know, my arteries, so they aren't, you know, all clogged, stuff like that, my blood pressure. Do you see what I mean? Here, all right, what else? I wash your body with pure water, and that means the word. Okay, so the very, on the last page, this is another. Lift up the weak hands and the feeble knees. Don't let that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let me heal it. God, I say, God, because now, you know, I had a total knee replacement. Okay, so then this side, so I start limping a little bit here because this knee is healed.
Come on.
This one.
Yes, it is.
When I stand here, I got to loosen it up. Okay, but I notice that I walk a little bit, And so I'm saying balance the scales. that one too. Yeah, on both sides of my body, because I can just see those scales hanging from that. And like my hips are in perfect alignment on both sides. See, stuff like that. And then it's not boring. Okay, now this is a combination of what the angel said to Mary and what she said back. Be it done unto me according to your word, Lord, for you said there shall be a performance of the things that you have spoken.
True.
You know, he performed putting a baby in her womb. Yeah. And be it done. And Mary said, be it done unto me. Be it done unto all these. Be it done unto me at the end. Then that one in John 14:30 out of the Amplified. Devil, you're the adversary and you have no claim on me. You have nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to you. You have no power over me. Okay, so I'm going to quit. I'll tell you what. Then you can say all 101 of them with it. And I highly recommend Charles Capps too. Or take You know, take this one day, take it the other one the next day.
Yeah.
But not to make this not that way, do that kind of stuff. And I'll gladly give you a copy of this. Yeah. Yeah, we can make them after church. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you can. But my tiny writing with some abbreviations that are my own. But I think you can make it up. And you'll be getting your own. You'll get all kinds of stuff. And that way you're meditating on it. Yeah, that's what God wanted me to do tonight. I know he did. I did not know, but I kept getting, get that 101 scriptures out. Amen. Okay. There's little tricks, but whatever you do, don't waste your time speaking the word of God and not coming out of here. It's just a waste of time. It's coming out of here. Yeah, out of your belly. Amen. Okay, so Father God, we just thank you for every single person here, Lord God. I just ask you to bless them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We bless them, Lord God, and we say farewell, brethren, rejoice, be strengthened, perfected, and completed. Be encouraged and comforted. Be of the same agreeable mind one with another, and live in peace, so that the God of love, who is the source of all affection and goodwill and benevolence toward men, and the author or promoter of peace, be with you. And I thank you, Father, that as they go home, that you make a clear path to their home, Lord God, and that angels guard them, Lord, for the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear God and delivers them. And so we thank you, Lord, that they have a peaceful, sweet sleep in the arms of God also. In Jesus' name, amen.